Well, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, we'll have a Bible reading there. Luke chapter 8. Starting from verse 4, and I'll just go down to verse 8. It says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and as it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprung up, and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And we'll start and commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you that we can come and spend some time around your word. And we thank you that we have recorded the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ as he walked upon this earth. And Lord, we have that inspired word that we know we can trust and we can live our lives by, and that, Lord, we can cherish and find great comfort and encouragement and exhortation. And as we consider your word this morning and these words that our Saviour, the one that we profess to love and to have as our Lord and King, I pray that we would listen diligently and consider these things and seek to do those things which, Lord, are pleasing in his sight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure most of us are aware of the parable that Jesus spoke here. And the parable talks about four types of soil that represent four types of people and their heart when they hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over the years, there's been a lot of discussion about which hearts represent the saved and which ones don't represent the saved. But I'm not going to delve into that argument this morning. I'll leave that for people that are a lot smarter than me. I'll just stick and concentrate on what I do know Jesus said. And I do know that he said that the word is like a farmer who goes out and spreads the seed. And depending on where it lands and the condition of the soil, it'll either be snatched up straight away and come to nothing, or it will bring forth much fruit or something in between. And here the Lord explains to his disciples and others that were listening at that stage or at that time the different types of hearts that can be expected, that we can be expected to find when they go out and preach the gospel. And I'm glad that the Lord Jesus has put that here, because there have been many times when I've preached the gospel knowing full well that there are people that are unsaved in the meeting there, and nothing happens. And you can walk away thinking, have I done something wrong? Or is there something wrong with me? But the reality is, Jesus himself said that there will be all different types of responses when the gospel goes forth. And many times, there won't be any response whatsoever. And I know that's been the case here in this church, in the various ministries over the year that we've enjoyed, and over the years where this church has been going. People have responded to the gospel message in different ways, and sadly some of them aren't really what we would like to see. But Jesus says here that this will happen. He tells us that there will be hard hearts who hear the gospel message. We read that in verse 5. It says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." It says, "Some fell on the wayside." The wayside, that word simply just means road or a trodden down area. And we can see that in where everyone walks, the road gets trodden down, and then nothing seems to grow in that spot. And their interpretation of that is found in verse 12, where Jesus explains to his disciples what this meant. It says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so that's the interpretation of the parable. And I know I've seen this many times, especially in our one-way club and the youth group. I preach the gospel, and it's like it's going on a steel plate. That's how hard the hearts seem to be. And there seems to be no response, no concern for the things of God. And the seed's been snatched away very quickly as you're preaching. You can see how there might be someone who's unsaved and there's someone sitting next to them and they're goofing around and they're carrying on. And you know that the person that needs to hear the gospel isn't hearing anything because they're concentrating on the person next to them. It's like the seed is snatched straight away as soon as it comes out my mouth. Well, sometimes when you get to that point of invitation, when you want to exhort someone to be saved, someone falls off the chair and everyone looks around and it's gone, the seed. Or a phone goes off. And if you've got a phone today, might be good to make sure it's on silent. All right? But that's what happens. It's amazing how the devil is very good at using mobile phones today to just snatch that seed away. Or it may be after the message you say amen and you can see that someone's been touched. And then particularly at youth club, someone might hit someone or push someone and then that person responds and then everyone's looking at that and then their focus is off what they've just heard and it's on to whatever's happening amongst the children. The devil is very good at snatching the seed away. And sadly there have been probably hundreds of people that have sat in this building. They've heard the gospel message and then the devil has come and snatched that seed away, just like Jesus said it would happen. And as sad as this is, we need to expect that. That's what happens. Jesus also said that some will fall on rocky hearts. It says there in verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And if you want a perfect example of this type of soil, you come to my place. You know, you got about centimetre, maybe 2 centimetres of topsoil, and then you hit rock or rock and clay. And there's not very much that grows there unless you put extra soil there yourself. But it's sad, you plant something and then it just withers and dies because there's no moisture there in the soil. And Jesus says in verse 13, what type of person this is like who hears the gospel. It says there, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have not root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And sadly, I can picture the faces of many people that have come to this church, in the various ministries, in other churches where I've ministered, who have heard the gospel, they've put up their hand, they've prayed with someone, and then they've gone home and told their parents about what they've done, their parents have made fun of them and they don't come anymore. Or they are very quiet for a while about the decision they made for the Lord, and then they finally say something at school, or it gets discovered that they are a Christian, and soon as they cop a little bit of harassment, they no longer want to come anymore. Sadly, it happens. Jesus told us that's going to happen, though. He also says that some seed will fall upon thorns. It says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. And in my backyard, we haven't had thorns, but we have had what most of you would know of wire weed. And wire weed is probably a very similar thing to thorns. This stuff is very hardy. It needs very little water. And it spreads very quickly across your backyard, I've discovered, when you don't pull them up. It's one minute you think there's just a few, and then before you know it, there's a whole backyard of these things. And then when you decide to start trying to pull this wire weed up, the root system is amazing. It just doesn't want to come up. And you just can't pull it up like many things, and it chokes everything else out. If you have some grass that you're trying to protect, it just sort of slowly comes over that and chokes it. It doesn't believe in coexistence I've discovered. It believes in total domination. For Doctor Who fans, these are the Daleks of the plant world, all right? They must exterminate everybody else. And wireweed would be a very similar thing to the thorns that the Lord Jesus is talking about here. And this is very similar to the sinful world that we live in. You know, the world doesn't believe in coexistence. It believes in total domination as well. Unfortunately, total domination of our spiritual life. And like wireweed, you might think that a few little bits in your life won't hurt, but that's a very big mistake because it will slowly creep into every avenue of your life, and before you realize it, you're being dominated by the world, and then by that time, it's very hard to get it out of your life. And if you think that you can have the world and love the world and enjoy the things of the world and it won't affect your spiritual life, well then you need to understand you're living in a fantasy world. That world doesn't live or exist in the Bible. God says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father won't be in him. So that the more that you have a love for the world, the less you're going to love the Father. And that's the way it is. As your love for the world starts to dominate, your love for God will diminish. We're told no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. That's the way it goes. That's what God's word says. And this is what happens to many hearts who receive the word of God and believe it. Jesus said, as an interpretation of that picture of the parable in verse 14, "And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." It's good to take notice there that Jesus said they're choked by the cares of life, the riches of life, and the pleasures of life. And as a pastor and as a leader of youth ministries for over 20 years, I know that this happens, and I've seen it happen to many people. They've heard the gospel, they profess to be saved, they appear to grow, but slowly the world creeps into their life to the point where their spiritual life just seems to be nothing. And the devil is able to use a various things from an unsaved boyfriend or girlfriend to music to the pursuit of money or a pursuit of a job that takes them away from the things of God or to a particular lifestyle that they would like and it takes them away from the things of God as well. But the things of the world, the riches, the pleasures, the cares of this world can so easily come in and choke the spiritual life of a believer. You know, at home, I think some of you have gone into my study, but in my study, I have two picture frames with a collage of photos of two different youth groups that I ministered to at Coffs Harbour. And I counted up all the young people that were in those photos, and there was 43 children, or teenagers. And with those 43, I would say just about every one of them professed Christ as their Saviour. I saw them walk an aisle, get things right with the Lord. I've heard them pray for their friends. Most of them have made a stand for the Lord at school or amongst their friends as well. And for me, looking on, I would say that these people are truly born again. But I also counted up how many I know have been choked by exactly what the Lord said could choke someone. And there were 17 of them that were very choked, to say the least. Some have been choked by the cares of the world. They're more interested in the things that the world has to offer than the Lord now. Some have been choked by the pursuit of riches, where getting rich and having a wonderful job was more important than their soul. And that slowly choked them. Some were choked simply by the pleasures of the world, and they chose to seek pleasures rather than the things of God. Sad. People get choked. I can look back in the 6 years I've been here and I can think of those that have been choked as well. Choked by pleasures, choked by riches, choked by the world. That's sad and it happens. You know, the scary thing is I don't for one moment think that I'm immune to that happening to myself as well. I can in full allow thorns to live in my life. And those things can start to grow up and start to choke my spiritual life if I'm not aware as well. And you need to understand that those very same thorns that Jesus talked about here, the cares of the world and the pursuit of riches and the pursuit of pleasures, can be things that come into your life and choke your spiritual life as well. None of us are immune to that. And we must be aware of those things. But the blessing is there's one other type of soil that Jesus mentions, and that is the good soil. It says there in verse 8, "And the other fell on good ground and sprung up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" And the interpretation of this is found in verse 15, where it says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And as I look around today, we can praise the Lord that we can see fruit from people's labor. You know, I think of Pastor O'Brien, fruit from this church's labor. Come here and he hears the gospel and he gets saved. I'm trying to think, I don't know if Chris, you got saved through the ministry of this church or people within this church. I know Terry got saved at a youth meeting and Brother Lynn led him to the Lord. And there are others as well that fruit from the ministry of this church, and we need to praise the Lord for that. That shows that the Lord is at work, even here at Golden City. He does use us and he is sending fruit within our ministry. And that should encourage us and allow us to praise the Lord. And it's a good reminder that the Lord still wants to continue to use us. I know that when you minister to the Lord week after week in the various ministries, sometimes it can get a little bit discouraging because you don't see fruit week after week. You know, every week when you turn up to minister to the things of God, you don't see marvelous fruit every week, and it can get very discouraging at times. And it's a blessing when you've been in a ministry for quite a while that you can look back and then consider, hey, over the course of years, there has been fruit, and it has been worthwhile. You know, I can remember quite a number of years now, I prepared a message for youth group. This is up in Coffs Harbour. I had someone in mind that I wanted we'd been praying that they would get saved, a young boy by the name of Toby. And I was praying that the Lord, that this young man would get saved. And I went to youth group that night, and sure enough, Toby was there, and also another visitor was there as well, who'd been brought along. And I preached that gospel message, and then I got them to bow their heads, and I said, "Look, if the Lord has been speaking to you about getting saved, I've asked you to pop your hand up and put it back down. I'll talk to you afterwards." And Toby was sitting over this direction. I was looking right at him, you know, while his head was bowed and praying for him, and he didn't put up his hand. And then someone put up their hand over there. I thought, that was the new boy. Never seen him before. His name was Mitch. It was a nice name, Mitchell, all right? So he put up his hand. I thought, oh, okay. And I saw his hand. And then afterwards, I sat down and talked to him and explained the gospel. I said, "Do you want to get saved?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Would you like me to pray with you, or you just pray?" He says, "I just want to pray." Oh, okay. And so bowed my head and it went quiet for a while. I sort of opened my eye a little bit and had a little look at him to see what he was doing, and he was just there quietly praying. I didn't even know what he prayed. And afterwards, the friend that brought him came up and said, "So did Mitch get saved? Did he get saved?" I'm like, "I don't know. Time will tell, I guess." And time has told. Because just, 2 months ago, I went to his ordination council. And he got saved, definitely. He grew in the Lord. He went to Bible college. He's now been the assistant pastor at that very church where he got saved. He's been the assistant there for, 7 years. He took over after I left there. And now he's been ordained as the associate pastor. See the thrill of going up and being able to preach at an ordination council to someone you led to the Lord that you didn't even was expecting. And that's fruit. And But there's been plenty of people that have been hard hearts or been choked in between that. The fruit is probably minimal, but there is fruit. And we can praise the Lord for fruit that we see here in this church as well. Your children who are saved and walking with the Lord, that is fruit, parents, from your labours. And this local church has a little part to play in that as well. Those who once were in youth group and now they're adults with children or they're grown up and they're sitting in this church or other churches, that is fruit from this church's ministry. And the blessing is we don't have to wait to heaven to see what fruit came of our ministry. We can look around and see some fruit now. No doubt as we get to heaven, we'll see that there was more fruit as well. But we can be encouraged that there has been fruit over the years. I remember it was only a few weeks ago, the last couple of weeks before One Way finished, and we were talking about the camps. And there was a little girl, well, not a little girl, she's 12, Shelby. And she was saying how, boy, I hope the fire alarms don't go off, or smoke alarms don't go off again like last year. But she said, but at least that was how I came to get saved. And so this was a girl from just one of the community, and she professed that that's when she got saved. She last year was really humid, and then about 11:30, the smoke alarm started going off, and we, for no reason, there's no smoke, it was pouring rain, and we got rid of it all, and then they kept going off. They went off about every 20 minutes, everyone go to sleep, and then everyone had to wake up. The whole campsite was going off. And these girls, her and Maddie, were in the cabin there, and after about probably the fifth time, they said to the leader, oh, they just started getting talking, and they talked about the message, and they said, look, we really want to get saved. And they talked about it more, and both these girls trusted the Lord as their Saviour. After that, the smoke alarm stopped going off. Now, I don't know if that was the Lord or coincidence, but it's like the Lord just kept waking them up until they were going to deal with their soul. And she professes that a year later, that's when she got saved. And so you never know, and we've had fruit. And you can see how this parable has come to pass even in this church. The gospel has gone out to many people. Some have, the gospel seed has landed on hard hearts and it's been plucked away. Others, they have received it and then when they were tested or tormented, they fell away. Others have received it, they've grown, and then things have come in and choked them. While there has been some that have brought forth great fruit as well. And that's an encouragement to our church. And there are three applications. Now, I don't want to scare you, but that was the introduction. All right, but the other part goes quicker. But there are three applications we should take from this as we see that this is a very good picture of our local church as well. Three things that are very obvious from this parable, but are very essential, yet often are missed. I want you to notice that there is a need to sow the seed. You know, if the farmer just tinkled around in his shed, shining up his seeder and making sure his machinery looked really good, but he never got out and put the seed in the ground, he would never have had a harvest, would he? Well, I guess he didn't have a... That sower didn't have a seeder like that. If he shined up his bag that he was going to use and made sure it had nice little patterns on it so when he went to sprinkle it out, it was ready. If he never got out and sowed the seed, he would never have had a harvest. Seed doesn't just jump out of the bag and seed itself or sow itself. Now, someone has to get out and spread it. And it's the same with the gospel. We have the word of God here with the wonderful news, but it doesn't just leap out of the Bible and sow itself. There is a need for the seed to be sowed. And as a church, that is our job. I know the Lord wants us as individuals to sow the seed, but he also has given the local church as his place for the sowers to go out from and sow the seed. And as a local church, we have a responsibility to do that. And that requires people to be committed to the ministries of the local church in order that the seed may be sown and then watered and then harvested. And that means it's going to take sacrifice from each one of us. It means we're going to have to miss out on shining up our harvesters and whatever other machinery, or tinkering around in our sheds, or going off and enjoying our hobbies and everything. There will require some sacrifice as well. Now, for Mitch, who became Pastor Crockett, to hear the gospel, it took a lot of work prior to that. It took a young man willing to speak up at school and invite him to youth group. It required people, adults, to be committed enough to have a youth group there so he could invite his friends. It required someone to actually go and pick the children up. It required someone to prepare a message and to preach and to so on. It required people to be committed. It didn't just happen without any effort or sacrifice. And if this church wants to continue to see the harvest of souls, well, then it all starts with people willing to sow. If there's people that aren't willing to sow, well, then there will be no harvests. Question I'd like to put to you is, how is your sowing going? Where in the church do you help to sow the seed? If you read the Bible, each one of us has a part to play. God says that. Each one of us has a part to play, and it may not be so much the putting in, but it might be the gathering or whatever it may be, but we all have a part to play. How's your sowing going in this church? Second thing is, there's a need to sow in faith. You know, the farmer didn't look at each seed and say, well, I won't bother throwing you out because I think you're going to land on the hard ground. Be a waste of time, so I'll keep you back in here. No, he threw it out. And he didn't know where it would land, which seed would land on the good soil and which one would land on the rocky or the hard and so on. And it's the same with us when we go to hand out a tract, or if we go to door knock, or if we go to minister at One Way or youth group or in Sunday school or whatever other ways that we can minister here in this local church. We don't know where the fruit is going to come. And we don't know when the seed is sown, when it's going to bear fruit. But to live by faith means that you believe what God has said, that there is a judgment coming for those who don't receive Christ as their Saviour. There is a judgment coming for every believer who must give an account of the way that they use their gifts as well. And this should motivate us to continue to serve. We should be like Noah. For years he preached righteousness to the people, and he continued to build the ark as well because he believed what God said about a flood that was coming, and he wasn't going to stop until that time. And the reality is, when you minister the word of God, you don't know how people are going to respond. You don't know where the next good soil is. But our response is to continue to sow. You know, I do always keep a little bit of a check on who comes to One Way Club. You know, last year at One Way, we had 47 visitors. And so that's first-timers, never come to One Way Club before. It's 47. That's how many were invited to come along. Our biggest night was 66 clubbers, and we were averaging around at the end around about the 50s or 60s, and so we got to minister to over 100 children throughout the year. Now, from what I have recorded, there were 7 children that responded to the gospel, and even of those 7, we don't know who really was the good soil. Now, that's not a great return. If a farmer had that sort of return, he probably would go broke very quickly. And most farmers, if they had that sort of return, would think it's not worth even going to sow the seed. Would that be right, brother? It's not worth it. And sadly, a lot of people think that. Oh, it's not worth it, putting all that work into that just for that little. But the reality is, we have to sow in faith. And if you've been serving the Lord and you haven't seen very much fruit, take heart that God's word tells us some will only plant and some will water and then others will get to reap. But God is the one in control of it all. If all your life, all you're doing is sowing, God's more interested in how faithful you have been in sowing rather than how much you've got to reap, when your job is simply to sow. And every time you put on your one-way shirt, or every time you go off the youth group, or you stand and you give a Sunday school lesson, or you're there at Mother's Group, or whatever else there is here in this church, when you're sowing the seed, understand that the work of the Spirit of God often is invisible. You won't know what's going on in the hearts. I've left here many a Sunday thinking, I don't even know why I bother. I don't think anything's happening when I preach. But I don't know what's going on in your heart as the Holy Spirit deals with you. It won't be until glory that we really see the harvest. Just because we don't see fruit doesn't mean we should stop. You know, my greatest trial of faith in this area would have to be Lily Lodge. You know, those, we've got more men, but they sit there, half of them can't hear you, half of them can't see you, half of the... Both, they can't see or hear you, and they sit there and you don't have a clue. For those who don't know Lily Lodge, that's a nursing home ministry, and so generally a lot of, it's not a Mason's ministry with the lodge, but it's a nursing home ministry, and we go there, and I just try to share the gospel a different way every time. There's nothing, I don't really do anything but share the gospel. These people need to hear the gospel. And I preach the gospel. I've been doing it here. Well, I've been here for 6 years. And I think, I'm pretty sure there's been one piece of fruit from it. One lady trusted the Lord as her Savior that I know in 6 years. And I've got to tell you, I don't like going. I would prefer not to go. It's sort of depressing being in that situation and then preaching and seeing no response. But I feel too guilty not to go. And you've got to just minister the word. But if everyone was putting up their hand and coming up and wanting to get saved, it would be easy to keep going. If I preached and then every month someone got saved, I'd want to go every second week. I'd be excited about going. But because there's no fruit, or I don't see any fruit, it's very hard. If you want to come along and encourage me, please do so. It's nice. But we need to sow in faith. And that's our responsibility. But you know, lastly, and just briefly, there's a need to continue to sow. Would you please turn to Galatians chapter 6? There's a verse that we often apply to our own body, but I believe it can be applied to our life in general. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, we often apply that to our own body. You sow to the flesh in your body, you're going to reap the corruption of that sinful life. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will enjoy eternal life and the spiritual things that are forever. But that also can be applied to our everyday life. There are things in your life where you can put all your attention to, which are really fleshly in the sense that they are going to burn when the Lord creates a new heaven and a new earth. They are not eternal. But there are things in life that you can put that are your life into that are eternal. Souls are eternal. Those young people that we get to minister to this week are eternal souls. Souls and the people, they are eternal. And there are eternal rewards as well. And we can fill our life pursuing things that are fleshly and won't live, or survive eternity, or we can spend our life putting things that into things that are eternal. And if we do put our life into things that are eternal, that will bring eternal life, it says there in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing," if this is what you're doing. "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You see, it's how we finish that is just as important as how we start. You know, Noah didn't build half the ark and then step back and think, "Well, I've done a fair bit, I might let someone else take over now. I think I've done my duty. I have a lot of things I want to do before the flood comes, and so I might let someone else take over." Now, if he'd stopped halfway through building the ark, he wouldn't have gone down as a great man of faith. And I wonder if you've stopped building lately. I wonder if you've stopped serving the Lord before you're meant to. You know, for the Christian, the finish isn't marriage. I get married, I don't have to serve the Lord now, I've got other things. The finish isn't having a baby. Right? I can just concentrate entirely on my baby and nothing else. That's not the finish. Children growing up, they're all left, so I don't have to worry about anything in the church now. My children are through and they're right. That's not the end either. Even retirement isn't. Death or the rapture is the finish for the Christian. Until then, there are souls that need to be saved. And there are rewards for those who faint not. It says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I wonder, are you going to miss out on some rewards because you've decided to faint and not continue to serve? Or have you grown weary of the things of God? You've lost interest in the things of God. Things have grown up and choked you. That when once there was a zeal for the things of God, but now you have a zeal for other things. Well, sadly, for too many churches, the words of our Saviour ring very loud where He says, the harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. And for too many churches, there's a few people doing a lot of things, but there's a lot of people and they're busy doing other things other than spiritual things. And you know, over the years, this church has enjoyed the harvest of souls. But if we want to continue to see harvest, well, then we need to continue to sow and we need to continue to water. The question is, are you involved in the process here in the church? Too many start serving and then they lose interest. They grow weary, just as we're exhorted not to do. They forget that there is a judgment, not just for the lost that don't get to hear the gospel, but also for us. Will you please turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? You know, there is a very direct exhortation here for each believer. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. We see there are two things here, that we all have different responsibilities. Some plant, some water, we know that some reap. We are to work together, though, as a local church. We are to come together. We have various responsibilities, but we are to serve as one in this local church. But it says there, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. And so although we work as one in our various responsibilities, we don't stand as one on judgment day. We stand as individuals. And as individuals, we will receive our reward for what we have done in our body. Now that's scary. You can't just hide. You may just hide in a local church and I'll just sit here and come in and out and don't do anything and no one will really notice, but Christ notices. And on Judgment Day, we stand as an individual and we give an account and we receive our own reward according to our own labour. And we need to make sure that we don't be like the Noah who stands back and says, well, I have laboured in the past. I put a lot of work into the Lord's work in the past, but now I think I've had enough. I'll just let other people do it. We are to continue to the end, the Lord says. And for us, or for those who are serving the Lord, can I encourage you not to grow weary? Although we grow weary, don't let that stop you from serving Him. At times we're going to wonder if it's worth it. At times we're going to get discouraged. But we need to continue to serve the Lord until it is the end. And that's death or the rapture. Nothing else. Because all of us are tempted. And all of us need encouragement at times to remain faithful or maybe to get back being faithful. Because as we've seen, the Lord has a job for us and He wants to use our church. as he has used it in the past, he also wants to use it in the future. And the good news is he wants each one of you to be a part of it, who calls this their home, their spiritual home. And I trust that each one of us will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord, that the miracle, the work of a miracle, of a soul being saved, is your responsibility. Father, we can't do it. But thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to use us nonetheless, and that our responsibility is to sacrifice and to sow and to be used of you. And I pray that each one of us will have that zeal and not allow the cares of this world to choke us, but seek to serve you faithfully, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.